right, let's take our Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 11, if you will. Mark chapter 11. While you're doing that, I also want to say a few things about the family conference. It's really about family relationships. And so the fact is, you may not even hardly have a family around anymore, but it may help you understand some things that maybe happened years ago. It's talking about those relationships. It really would be a help to almost anybody and everybody. I almost guarantee you. Now, I understand there's some, that's one reason why we put the titles of the messages on the card. So take that with you too for your sake and put it on the refrigerator. There's some that are a little more specific, like three key elements of successful parenting, intimacy, and marriage. But when you get to the all-day Sunday and Monday night, to tell you the truth, those messages, and I know what they are, will apply to almost everybody. I mean, they really would. And just, you never know what kind of things it amazes me sometimes the things that folks have had to go through in their life. And we have to deal with these are things. They're real. And so I would really, really encourage you to do that and hand it out. Neighbors, somebody at work, you know, just having a hard time with maybe a relationship at home, or maybe relationship between you and them at work or whatever. But I'd really encourage you to come. I think it'd be a really true blessing. One other thing here, and we had deacons meeting last night, but some has come up since then. So the deacons don't even know this yet. But once we have signed, which we have our agreement for our loan. Then there's one last thing that they had to do with a third party, a bank needed to do with a third party, and that is what they, let's see what they called that. That was the cost. It was a cost analysis that the builder is charging us enough to actually get the building up. Okay, I know it sounds weird, but that they're actually charging us enough, and we're not in cahoots or something. And so anyway. He says it just takes time. That probably will not get done until a week from Friday. I talked to him today. That will probably not get done until a week from Friday, which means we can't have final settlement. He said, well, don't we have, yeah, we have the agreement. They can't back out unless something really crazy happens. And if that's the case, then we probably don't want to do it. But there's to have settlement the following Tuesday, which would be a week from this coming Tuesday. And then that means we can actually move dirt on Wednesday. We were supposed to move dirt this coming Wednesday, a week from the day. But it is what it is. Just, you know, it is what it is. So we're good. I talked to the bank. No, everything's fine. There's no problem. This is just what it takes that we got to do. But we don't do it until we have the agreement. And it just seems like it takes forever because they actually have to go through a cost analysis. By the way, anybody need a worksheet? Raise your hand if you can get a worksheet. Anybody need a worksheet? Okay, looks like the good guys. They basically have to take all the plans, all the electrical plans, the plumbing plans, the architectural plans, the excavation plans, and they basically have to review all that. So what's taking so long? Well, there's probably other plans ahead of us too. You know, so they're doing this for other people, and so now they put us in line, and this is about where they're going to get it. So it's just a matter of the process. The appraisal came through with the as-built, and everything was fine. So I know, don't get scared. I said, tell me this is fine. I said, no, it's fine. Fine. It's no problem. Don't let them get scared. Everything's fine. It's just the process. So that's where we are. So they were looking to move ground next Wednesday, but that's going to be a week from that. Just thought I'd keep you updated so you know what was going on. Mark chapter 11, if you will, and we're going to read beginning in verse number 12. Mark chapter 11, verse number 12. The context is that Jesus, the beginning of chapter 11, is going in and doing what we call the triumphal entry. Jesus going into Jerusalem just before the crucifixion. And this is a little occurrence that occurs in the midst of all that event. And so he's staying, not in Jerusalem at night, but he's staying with the friends in Bethany. And so he's kind of, which really isn't very far from Jerusalem. And so they kind of walk back and forth, kind of commute back and forth to Jerusalem and the temple during that time. So verse 12, it says, and on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find any thing thereon, and when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, the tree, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Now, we had a long thing about Israel and so forth, and that's all in there, but that was really covered more in Matthew because of what Matthew's trying to show him as the sovereign king. Anyway, the leaves, if there's leaves on a fig tree, there should be fruit because the fruit comes before the leaves. I know it sounds weird, but so if there's leaves, there ought to be some fruit. But there was leaves, and it was showing like there was something going on, but there wasn't. So that's kind of where it was. You can go back and get the CD on that later from Matthew. I believe it's Matthew 12, if I remember right. Matthew 21. Now, verse 15. And they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple, and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers, and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught them, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But ye have made it a den of thieves. He said, of all nations of the world, this certainly should be the house of prayer. That's kind of what he's saying. Verse 18. And the scribes and chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. And when even was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. Now, here's the passage we're going to be studying, but I wanted to put it in context. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Now, that phrase, have faith in God, was an answer to, look at that. That fig tree you cursed, it really is cursed. I mean, you said no one's ever going to eat figs of that tree again. And sure enough, they're not. The thing's dead. I mean, like overnight, it's dead. And his response is, have faith in God. For verily, or truly, I say unto you, and here's a principle, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shalt not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he hath, that he saith, shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, because of what I just told you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. And that is the principle. Okay, that's true. So why doesn't it always happen? Well, let's look at something here. There's many different reasons, but he's going to give us one reason here now. And he says, and when ye stand praying, in other words, this is part of the same conversation. This is part of the same statement. He says, you pray, you believe, you'll have it. But then he says, and when you stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Now, there's an assumption there in verse 25 that the reason he has something against somebody is because they have trespassed against him. So he says, if you got any reason that you're kind of against somebody, well, then he says, when you stand praying, forgive them. So that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you and your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Now remember, this is all one piece. It's all one conversation. You could say it was all done in one breath. So it all goes together. Jesus is not schizophrenic. He's not a scatterbrain. When he says something, he puts it all together. There's a reason why he put it there. And most times he says it the way he says it, for those who have ears to hear, to hear. And so if you want to hear the truth, he says, I'll let you know some things. That's why he says it in the parables. So let's pray this evening. And we're going to talk about believing, relieving, and receiving. You'll understand a little while later. Believing, relieving, and receiving. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray that you'll speak to us about this. This is probably something we all need from time to time. And there's a reason why Mark, though none of the other Gospels included this little passage, Mark included this so we would know Jesus had such a servant's heart, caring about others more than self. Lord, sometimes we can get so focused, especially when we've been hurt. Lord, help us to see your word and your wisdom. May your spirit move. May it be the oil that helps the medicine of the Lord go down, go deep into our heart. Give us what we need here this evening. And we may rise up in arms of faith and see you work in our lives once again. So we give it to you, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Allow me to mention again, real quick, that we're not going chapter by chapter, verse by verse through Mark. We did that in Matthew. But we're doing that because many of those events are covered in Matthew. And I tended to use a lot of things in Mark to help cover Matthew. But there are some things that Mark records that Matthew does not record. And this is one of those passages, verse 22 through 26. This is one of those passages that Mark, if I remember right, I think it's the only gospel that includes this little section here. Let me also remind you once again that Mark presents Jesus Christ as the servant. Matthew presents him as the sovereign, king of all things. But here's the king serving. That's the mark of who Jesus is. A good servant is constantly thinking about others rather than himself. Let me say that again. A good servant, a servant who really cares about what he's doing, cares about others, is constantly thinking about others rather than himself. A good servant is more about meeting the needs of others more than his own needs. A servant is more about making sure others are okay than whether he's okay. A servant is not out for number one. A servant puts himself and his needs and his desires aside for the sake of the one he is serving. Jesus, now in this area here, is going to give us two stipulations. I want you to understand, you see the attitude of who Christ is here and what a servant really is. Kind of put that in your mind here. But Jesus gives two stipulations to receiving when we pray. One of those stipulations puts us in position to see God start the giving. And one of these is a word of caution so we do not see God stop the giving. See what I'm saying? There's two things sandwiched in here. One is he will give and we can ask and we'll receive. But we have two stipulations, one at the beginning and one at the end. One shows us how to get it to start seeing God giving, and one as a word of caution so we don't see God stop the giving. Number one on your paper is the word believing. Believing God. Believing in God. We're going to walk through this. I've given you some scripture. A few other things I'm going to put on there, so hang tight. And I think we can get out of here in good time this evening. Verse 21, I put on there, it says, "And Peter calling to remembrance saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away." I just wanted to let you know, remind you what the context was. So in other words, if you think about this, Jesus, and this is kind of an odd thing, he says, "You know what, I don't like this tree. Tree, die." That really seems kind of strange. But the fact is, I kind of think that Jesus did that in such a way as to realize that to try to teach the disciples and teaching us, you know what, God does care about you. And you know, some silly little thing you might think is insignificant, but you pray for it and you're walking with the Lord and somehow he just kind of does it. Dr. R.B. Ouellette, he's talked about this, and I'm not in, he said his family, he's in Michigan. Yeah, I've heard him tell this, thing. I'm not into mixed swimming and all that kind of stuff. I don't go down to the beach and those kind of things. I don't want to see anybody else's wife in their underwear. But anyway, they were in Michigan, and of course, summer shows up on Thursday up there. You know how it is. You know, that's when summer is. It's this week. This week is summer, and then we go into the fall. But he and his family decided when the kids were growing up, they wanted a pool. And he said, we really couldn't afford a pool. The church was still young, and kids were young. We couldn't afford a pool, but we went in the backyard, one for the family. So he said they prayed for a pool, and they prayed for a pool. And it was, and I forget now what the circumstance was, but all of a sudden, bang, somebody came in and said, I was just thinking, you know, I put pools in for a living, and I was wondering, preacher, if you'd be okay if I put one in your backyard. Now, he just uses that as an example to say, you know, he said, I don't need a pool. We kind of wanted one. And we were serving, but you know what? If he gave us what we thought, we'd pray. And sure enough, he did. And now, you know, I don't know how you feel about all that, but that's kind of what this is. It's kind of like saying, Jesus said, you know what? We don't need a tree sticking around here anymore. Now, there's some other things that it taught us, and we learned about that in Matthew. But in this particular instance, he said in verse 22, after Peter says, you know what? That tree you cursed, it's withered away. And Jesus answered, this was his answer, have faith in God. Have faith in God. That word have, I got on your paper, that means to hold to possess it. You need to hold to your faith. Now, you say, well, I don't have faith that God's going to give me a pool. No, but you have faith in God. You have faith in his character. You have faith in who he is. Now, it could be, old John Rice used to say, pray until you get the answer or until God changes your prayer. Now, if God puts in your heart, I'm not going to give you a pull, stop it. And I think God can kind of impress upon your heart, and you start praying. There's been a few times in my life when I was praying for something, and every time I pray, it was kind of like, you know, you're not going to get this. You might as well just stop. And so it's not about being obstinate about it. The Lord's not good at it. Don't, you know. I mean, I didn't hear some voice, stop it, Sterling. I didn't hear anything like that. It was just the fact that I could just tell in my heart, there's no sense in praying for them. You know, just wasn't going to happen. So anyway, he said, but hold to it. He says, have faith, a constant conviction, a credence. This is what I believe. But what are we supposed to believe? Believe in God. What does that mean? Believe that he is who he says he is. He's the creator of the universe. He loves you with an everlasting love. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Listen, he will give us, listen, those who love him will never want any good thing. He cares for his children. So we got to believe who he is. So my question is, where's your faith? Is your faith in God or is your faith in you? Well, I can connive this and make this work. I think if I just kind of play my cards right here, this and that. Isn't that right, God? I'm trusting in you. In the meantime, no. Have faith in God or faith in you. Where's your hope then? If your faith is in you, then your hope's in you. If your faith is in God, then your hope is in God. So where is the answer going to come from? From you or from God? So when something unusual happens in answer to your prayer, is it from you or is it from God? It was from God. So we got to hold to his faith. So he says, the Lord will bless. Let me get a little further, verse 23. For verily, or truly, I say unto you, look at this word, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. Now that seems like a kind of a frivolous prayer, doesn't it? But he says, whosoever shall say this mountain, be thou removed and thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt. In other words, you're not hesitating. You're not going to contend in your heart over the thought. You're not going to be rethinking it. He says, you think God can do it? You really think it needs to be done? Pray. He says, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. The principle is this. God can do anything. We just need to entrust it to him. Now, he's giving us some pretty, I don't know, how many mountains have you seen move recently? Okay. What he's doing is teaching us a principle. He's not telling us to go out there and say, okay, I want that mountain over here. I want that mountain over here. It's like some ladies rearrange their living room every other week. You know what I mean? Let's put the sofa over here and the love seat over here. Let's put this over here. That's not what he's saying. He's not saying go around and rearrange the world. What he's saying is there's the principle. The fact is if God impresses you upon a need and there is a need, you can come to him believing is true, especially when you've got a promise in the Word of God. Hang on to that promise. Don't doubt his Word. Pray until it comes or until he changes your prayer. But God can do it. The principle is simply here that we can receive from God if we believe, if we trust him. Now, that doesn't mean we can just go out and say, well, you know, I'm going to believe him for a new Cadillac. No, he's not saying that. But you got a need. You can come to him with a whole heart, believing in who he is and that he always does right. And he'll take care of it. Number two, receiving from God. Receiving.
I before E, except after C, just so you know.
Receiving from God. Letter A, we're going to believe. It says, believe that ye receive them. It's interesting how he words this. Believe that ye receive them. Verse 24 says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. I hope you can see how we got those. I got some explanations in the middle of that verse there. Let me say again, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Now hang on, what's this is saying here? I hope you understand here. He says, what things soever ye desire, you ask, you beg, you call for. Literally, to crave. Now God's not going to give you a beer. I'm sorry. He's not going to give you a winning lottery ticket. I'm sorry. All right, but there are good things that are good for us. We will want no good thing. What that means is we won't have a lack of anything that's good for us. God will take care of us. So he's not talking about daily needs. He's actually speaking about extra things that you desire. Now, it may be a daily need if you're out in the middle of the desert and don't have anything. But he's actually saying, you know, here's something you want. Kind of like he said, I don't want that tree around here anymore. It seems a little bit frivolous. But he says, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe. Now that word believe has a certain connotation. It means understand the real source of the answer to the prayer. If it comes, we should understand the real source. We need to give, that word believe means to give proper credit to. We need to give proper credit to the Lord as the source of the answer to our prayer. It's not us. We are not self-sufficient. So when it says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe. He's talking about believing in God. We're giving the credit to him. It's him. If it happens, it was him. It won't have been of me. It's all of him. He's the source of the answer. He says, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Now hang tight with me. Look at letter B. Our trust has to be in the Lord rather than in ourselves. When it says if we're going to receive, we've got to believe. We've got to believe that the source is him. The word believe there, have faith. Give proper credit. To give proper credit to and trust. We're believing in him, not in us. There's so many times where I'm praying and trusting, and then we're going about not even waiting for him to give us the answer. We're just going about and doing our own little thing. We're conniving. We're scheming. Come back here. It's almost like, God, I got this one. You know, and I'm going to. A lot of things we get ourselves in trouble with. We've got to be careful. The word receive, number two there underneath letter B, means to get a hold of something offered. To receive, it means somebody, it has a connotation within the Greek, somebody offered this to you and you received it. This was not in response to something you did. This is not a paycheck for the work that you did. This is something that somebody has given you out of the goodness of their heart. In other words, underneath number two, it says, not of our own making. This is something we must obtain. O-B-T-A-I-N. Obtain from someone else as a bestowment, a gift out of the goodness of their heart. Watch this. And not something we have attained. A-T-T-A-I-N. Because of our own efforts. He says, believe that ye receive it. Believe it, that it's coming from him. It's not me. I don't deserve it. I have no right to it. By the way, as soon as we say, I have the right, we're in dangerous ground. As soon as we get to anything, we're like, well, you know, and we say, well, we wouldn't say it out loud, but it's kind of like, but God kind of owes me. You know, I mean, I've been doing really well, and I've done this, and I've served him for years and years, and God kind of owes me. We're in trouble. See, that's not a servant. That's somebody looking out for themselves. That's not a servant's attitude. And so when it says here, therefore I say to you, whatsoever things ye desire. It does not. Now, we have the right to say, give us this day our daily bread. God's going to take care of our daily needs. This is actually something else. This is a walk with him. This is saying we're going to give proper credit to him. We're receiving it, not because of our own efforts, but because he has, out of the goodness of his heart, given it to us. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, cometh from the Father of lights, which from whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. If you got something good, it came from him, whether you want to give him credit for it or not. Letter C, watch. We are receiving, watch this, because God has pardoned us and relieved us of our debt against him. Letter D, we are in position to receive because of the mercy of God. We actually receive because of the grace of God. So he's saying, you know, believe, and but the principle is, you ask, you believe, you can have it. But the fact is, God doesn't owe any of it. We got to believe that we're receiving it. He is. It's a, this. What we're getting is a gift from God. We haven't earned it. He's not so impressed with us that he's going to bless us with this. That's what we're talking about here. What we're getting is because it's out of the mercy of God. So we got to be believing God, and here we're going to be receiving from God. Now, number three, relieving as God. Now, we're not the God, but relieving as God relieves. And I think you understand this in a second. If you go back to letter C on number two, we're receiving because God has pardoned us and thus relieved us of our debt against him. We don't deserve it. He forgave us. When we come, we confess our sins. He's faithful and just. Forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He forgave us. He has released us, if you even want to say, relieved us of the guilt, relieved us of the penalty, relieved us of when I stand before the judge, I have been accused. The cause against me. That's not the word I'm looking for. But there's a cause against me, and he has relieved me of that. He's put that aside. He's no longer holding that against me, and is going to bless me instead. You follow what I'm saying? I hope you can. Now, so number three, he says relieving as God. In other words, this is how. What we're going to talk about, this is how not to stop the receiving, even though we are still believing. We can receive because we believe. He says, believe God, have faith in God, you'll receive. And that is the principle. But he says, wait a minute, there's a problem you better be careful with. You say, well, I believe, so I should be receiving, but I'm not. Okay, well, maybe there's something, and here's one of those issues. We're not doing toward others what God did toward us. And we say, well, I still believe. I know, but we're going to stop the receiving because there's an issue. There are people who believe they can receive. That's what the first principle is. You believe you can have it, you can have it. But they're not receiving. They have met the stipulation to receive by believing. But they are stopping the delivery by not relieving others. Are you following what I'm saying? So let's look at this passage here. It says here in verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that ye receive them, you shall have them. And when you stand praying. So this is all parts of it. So while you're praying, while you're going to stand and pray, okay? Listen, letter B. We are receiving because we have been relieved of the debt that we owe God for the trespasses we have committed against God. You see what I'm saying? In His mercy, He's giving us these gifts, so to speak. If we remember that we are receiving because of the grace of God and because He has forgiven us, then we understand that God is not going to give us anything unless we are willing to forgive others just as God has forgiven us. Verse 25, it says, and when you stand praying. Look what it says. And so, that word and means, and so also. Going along with what I've just thought, what I've just said. Going along with this thought. That word and means with a cumulative force. He says, another stipulation. When ye stand praying, when you're asking from God, forgive. Now that word forgive is an interesting little word there. You know, our world thinks if you forgive, you're weak. If you forgive, you're a doormat. If you forgive, you're stupid. I'll tell you what, it's stupid not to forgive. Because you will live your life bitter. It will eat you alive. Well, they're getting away with it. Yeah, but I'm happy. And by the way, you get bitter against somebody, they're fine. You're the ones getting eaten up. I had somebody, and I have no idea, I don't even remember who it was, because I forget these. Honest, I do. I forget a lot of things, but I choose to forget these for sure. I don't even let it sink in. I walk away and leave it go. But I remember somebody coming up to me and saying one day, Pastor, I need you to forgive me. Because I held some things against you, and I was really upset with you. The fact is, I was just plain angry at you. Okay, I forgive you. The fact is, I didn't know. Who was upset about the whole situation? Who lost sleep over it? It didn't hurt me a bit. Now, after it was all over, then I lost the sleep. So, by the way, if you're mad at me, just forgive me. Don't tell me. All right? If you're a man of me, just forgive me and don't tell me. I'm sure I've got something to be forgiven, bound to, you know. And a multitude of words are one if not sin. The preacher always has a multitude of words, so there's probably plenty of sin to go around. So if you're upset with me, just fine. Forgive me. Go on. I don't really want to know. I don't want to lose any sleep over it. But anyway, it's fun. That's what's going on here. So he says, listen. He says, forgive. That word forgive means to send forth, to forsake, to lay it aside, to leave it alone. Omit it, put it away, remit, suffer, yield it up. He says, when you stand praying, forgive. Send it out of here. You want to pray? You want to go and see answers? Toss that thing, whatever it is you have ought against somebody. Get rid of it. Don't even touch it. Don't go there. Leave it alone. He says, forgive if you have ought against any that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive your trespasses. Your Father which is in heaven. Watch this. We think we're so high and so mighty, we forget that we're assuming the God of all creation is going to forgive us. He's going to take our sins and drop kick them. Get them out of there. Send forth. And it's a wonderful thing that we can say, you know what? He's cast my sin as far as the east is from the west. He's buried in the depths of the deepest sea. He remembers them no more. That's how God deals with people. That's how we are to deal with people. He says, send them forth. Get rid of it. Don't hang on to that thing. Because, see, when you do that, that's when we're regarding iniquity in our heart. The unforgiveness is the sin. And we refuse not to forgive. Then we have a sin. And if we regard our iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear us. So why is he saying when you stand to praying, if you have aught against anybody, you better kick that thing out of it, send it forth, because you're just wasting your breath. You are wasting your breath. Watch. Yeah, but I've done so much. I've served the Lord here, or I've done this, or I've done that. Good. But if you're not going to forgive, then you're stopping the blessings that you could have by simply believing. You find what I'm saying? So we shoot ourselves in the foot. So he says, that the Lord may forgive you your trespasses. And that word trespasses is interesting. Look what it says. I looked it up. Side slips. Kind of a lapse in judgment. Unintentional error. I can't tell, and this is the truth. Preacher, you know this. You said something, made somebody mad, and it was the last thing you ever thought of. You never want to make anybody mad. And it's happened to you too. You've said something, and somebody, did you know what they said? Well, I know that's what they meant. Well, I know they meant so and so and so. Now, wait a minute. Watch this. You know what's saying there? That word trespass means side slip. A lapse. I like a lapse in judgment. It's still sin. Sin is coming short of the glory of God. For you to say, you know, I don't sin anymore, is kind of crazy, because we don't know everything about sin. There are things that are sin we don't think of sin. But it's kind of a lapse in Christian judgment. And as we grow in the Lord, there's, I don't know about you, but I've come along with things that, that was a sin all along. I didn't even know it. All of a sudden, Lord pricks your heart about something, and you thought, man, I was just right. You know what God's saying? I forgive you. It's like overlooking the little, a five-year-old tries to make the bed. Now, the fact is, you might, you know, they might be doing the best they can, and it doesn't look a whole lot better than when they started. But they worked real hard at it. And in the process of training, you're going to let them do it again and again. And this time, so let's try this time. Let's do this time. And the fact is, you have forgiven them for the mess they made because you've overlooked their lapse in ability or lapse in judgment or whatever it is. And we expect God to overlook all these little things that we do. We get mad at the guy who cuts us off in the road. We get mad at the gal who's at the restaurant, who's down here at the end, and she's jawing with her friend, and you've been waiting to get the bill for 15 minutes. You've been done, and she's forgotten you were there. You're mad at this person or that person. They said something, this, that, and we don't forget it. You know what he's saying? We need to live with the same attitude as God does. Bless his little heart. I'm glad he looks at me and says, bless his dumb little heart. He sure tries. Doesn't have much to offer, but he sure tries. And we can go right and say, listen, we can overlook, we can send forth, get rid of that thing of their lapse, their sin. Don't hold grudges. Don't get historical and just add it all up. Keep a count. Everything they've done. Well, this isn't the first time they did this. So it must be. It should feel like the first time because you sent the other ones forth, right? Or did you take that and put it in your pocket because you might need that a little bit later to bring it up? He says, when you stand praying, send that junk forth. Because the fact is, what you're receiving is by the grace of God. Express that grace of God to that one who trespassed against you. If you can't express that one against who trespassed against you, why in the world should we expect the God of all creation, holy and righteous and pure, who's in the throne room high and lifted up and fills the temple, why should he forgive me? The differential between me and God is a whole lot greater than the differential between me and somebody else. Many folks want to see God do great things and want to do great things for God, but are not willing to be like God in the forgiveness. Letter C. We must relieve others of their debt to us. We must relieve others. You know, folks who have this are forever trying to fix everybody and fix everything. They may give God credit for it or the blame, but they're trying to do it themselves because, you see, they're living superficially. They're looking down on folks and not forgiving. So when they pray, to be honest with you, the truth is, God, if anything good, it wasn't their prayer that got it. Now, it might have happened, somebody else's prayer. There's been times in my life I know somebody's been praying for me because I knew I wasn't right. And then it humbles me and I realize I need to go back and get right. I want to be one somebody that can pray for somebody else. But I need to relieve them of their debt to me. Look at verse 26. But if ye do not forgive, relieve them, send forth, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Luke 11:4 says, and forgive us our sins as we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. That's the way Luke phrases what we call the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer. The only reason we're receiving from God is because God has forgiven us by His mercy for all the sins that we have committed that we know of. And listen, we must pardon their trespasses against us just as God has pardoned our trespasses against Him. We see our sin as nothing because we didn't mean it. Oh, that was a little lapse in judgment. But, you know, I didn't mean it. And we see the sin of others as unforgivable whether they meant it or not. I can't believe they did that. Well, they should have thought. Well, how could they? If we are not forgiven by Him and in a good position with God because we've not forgiven others, we are not going to be receiving any special answers to our prayers from God. We lose our position within the mercy of God to receive from God when we refuse to relieve others of their trespasses against us. God is most likely not going to, watch, He's not going to starve you. He's not going to starve you out unless you're really being knowingly obstinate, rebellious. But most likely we're just going to get our basic needs. But if you want to pray a prayer for a special need, a desire, you're going to have to be in good standing with God. And since you're only receiving because God's pardon of your sins, do not expect God to answer a special prayer of yours if you're not willing to pardon the sins of others. We receive because God has been willing to pardon our sin and make us fit to receive the blessings of answered prayer. And if we are unwilling to extend the same mercy, grace, and pardon to others, God will refuse the answer to your prayer. Simple little thing. Well, they're not that big. Didn't say they had to be big. Was no big deal. Well, didn't say it had to be a big deal. But there's that little thing in your heart saying, I can't believe it. I can't let go. You don't know what they did to me. No, but God does. And I'll guarantee you it wasn't as big as what you did to him. Especially when you compare it to what he did do for you. Father, thank you for speaking to our heart here this evening. Thank you for what you're doing. Lord, forgive us for not being forgiving. Heads are bowed.